This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'll be your host tonight. And I've got a very special guest in this evening, Paige Phoenix, with us. And a little bit later, we'll also be hearing from Jez Pez about local youth projects that he's involved with Transgender Victoria. Also, latest podcasts available from the Joy website, joy.org.au. You can listen to our newest podcasts, thanks to Andrea, who is our new podcaster here for Transpositions on Joy. So tonight is Paige's story, and you're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And that was live vocals by Paige Phoenix, Tears in Heaven. Thank you very much for that, Paige.
You're very welcome, Kurt.
That was awesome, just being here live in the studio, just all happening.
It's good no one can see me shaking.
You're doing very well. I know that you've had a bit of a rough couple of weeks, so I really appreciate you coming in tonight. Paige is here to answer any questions. He said before that I can ask anything, which is awesome.
Anything at all.
Anything. So be prepared. But Paige, I wanted to start off by asking you about sort of where you've come from and what it was like growing up as little Paige and discovering that you were transgender.
Little Paige had a pretty rough run. I was a state ward at a pretty young age, so out of home, before my teens. And I think lots of the unrest and the difficulty in relationship with my parents was gender related, but that didn't really become evident until much later. And retrospectively, we could sort of look back and go, "Ah, okay, that's why I was bucking so much, and that's why they were not coping." But at the time, I didn't really have any concept of trans or even. I didn't consider gender much as a kid, except that I just knew how I felt and I knew who I was, and I was very uncompromisingly me. And so I ended up kind of out carving my own path pretty early.
So I mean, most of us don't really think about gender while we're young. It is what it is. There's boys and there's girls. When did you sort of realised that gender wasn't between the legs and it was more in the head and it was a psychological thing?
Well, I kind of always, I don't know, I think because of my spiritual bent, like I kind of viewed gender more as just another offshoot of ego and mind and another structure rather than, you know, just the mental concept of gender. But which made me really look at, like, well, neither is really true. Ultimately, the energy that fills these bodies that we carry around aren't, I don't believe, gendered. I guess being in touch with a pre-gendered state, then it was like, okay, well, then what do I want to express in this lifetime? What feels true for me? What do I want to do with what I've got? And you know, living my life as a man was a choice that I made for myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, because I know for my transition, I've been sort of transitioning, well, open as transgender for 2.5 years now. Mm-hmm. And for me, it wasn't really a choice. It was sort of, I had to do this or there was no other option.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd like to find a trans guy actually that, or I don't know if this applies to the women as well, that once that bubble pops or you kind of get it, that you just you so desperately want all of it and for it just to happen overnight.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, my God, this is it, you know? Definitely had that moment of, and there is a choicelessness about it. It's like, you know, I've had my parents say since I decided to transition, You know, we've supported your other lifestyle decisions, but this one, you know, we just can't support you in. And that to me is like, wow, you actually think that I just woke up one day and decided, I was bored, I'm going to have a sex change? Like,
yeah, exactly. It's a lifestyle choice.
Right? Sort of. Yeah. It's completely ridiculous. You know?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that some people just can't quite see the need for it and the fact that gender dysphoria is real and it's painful.
Yeah, I wrote this letter to my mum and I published it up on Facey, and I used the metaphor of walking around with a pair of shoes that were two sizes too small. Mm-hmm. And even that I kind of put them on, you know, because I was conditioned to and I felt like I had to. But then when I realised that they didn't fit me and there was another pair of shoes that were, you know, right for me, just imagine the joy of taking those shoes off after wearing them for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's like, woo, yeah.
Yeah, a massive relief.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Hmm. And I have read, you know, a few things like that you've posted, the letter to your mum and stuff, and it's so nice to see that you're so honest about it and you've put it there for people, I suppose, like me, who I struggle with my relationship with my parents and they've decided they don't want me in their life. And thank you. It's quite common, you know, there's a lot of trans guys and girls out there who have lost their blood relatives. Which, you know, we're so lucky we've got the trans community because that's our chosen family in a way. But just reading, you know, the things that you post on social media and things helps me, and I know that it helps a lot of other people. So
great.
Yeah, I want to let you know that it's so nice that you're so honest. Because I know a few people, you know, don't want to put everything up on social media for people to see. But
I kind of... it's become a bit of a phenomena. I don't know. Yeah, I think at some point in the future, we'll look back on the page Facebook experiment and go, wow, that was a real thing, you know?
Yeah.
once I kind of got some level of public profile, then realised how much just being open and transparent and sharing my experiences was helping other people. It's just become what I do with my time now. It's really just about sharing my experiences, but also just continuing to try and work on being a person that is worthy of, you know, that those experiences are worthwhile sharing. So, you know, trying to be in integrity and trying to model, you know, good communication and healthy relationships and what, you know, cleaning my act up and getting off, you know, off substances and things like that. And, you know, that people can, you know, and they do. And it's not just the trans community as well. It's like, a really broad demographic of people that I share my life with, and they share theirs with me. And
it's fantastic. Well, you were certainly one of the first trans guys I was exposed to when I was sort of coming into the world.
Sounds so seedy,
doesn't it? Exposed.
A trench coat or something.
I was sort of trying to look for people to look up to that were already transitioning, and you were one of the first people I came across and watched your YouTube videos on X Factor, and so it was really nice that you know, you're someone who can represent our community, you know, someone that's got it together and sort of knows what they're doing, I guess.
I try, and to varying degrees of success. Like, I think that's also something that I've learned, is that it's not about being perfect, and it's actually just about being real and being honest, and that there's as much that people gain from watching me fall on my face and then pick myself back up again and continue on, because I don't think that I'm doing anyone a service by trying to present some kind of picture perfect, you know, anything, because life isn't like that, and human beings aren't like that. So just trying to keep it real.
That's an awesome outlook. Yeah. I'm interested to know a bit more about, like, your coming out story and everything. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the show, and down the track track. We also have Jez Pez. He's going to tell us a little bit about Transgender Victoria's youth project, What Makes an Ally. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm with Paige Phoenix, and he is a Melbourne trans man, if you didn't know already. And Paige, we were just about to start talking about your coming out experience.
Yeah.
And I was just asking you, how long has it been since you had to come out to everyone?
It was a bunch of years ago now. Like, I guess sort of 5-6 years ago. I was doing my postgraduate gestalt psychotherapy training at the time. And, yeah, so I kind of came out in my training, and I think to my training group first before anybody else. And then, because, yeah, we were kind of in process, and it was part of my process was working this stuff out. So, which is kind of cool because I got to do a heap of therapy on it.
Yeah, nice.
And get lots of, and get varying levels of support and resistance also from the group, and get to work through a lot of that sort of stuff. But, and then, once I was solid and certain about it, then I told, my partner and, and my family as well.
That's surprising that you didn't talk it over with a best friend or your partner. Or have you got any siblings?
Yeah, I've got an older sister, Samantha, and then my dad had a daughter in his first marriage, and so I've got another sister, Kamari, as well.
Okay,
who lives on the coast down here. So my sister Samantha is a Christian minister, wasn't the first person that I would run to to bang it out. And telling family was, pretty hectic and didn't go nearly as well as I had hoped that it would. But definitely the biggest coming out was, national television was a pretty hectic way to tell everyone. Tell one or two people.
Yeah. Was it exciting after that X Factor moment where you just came out?
Yeah, it was pretty liberating. It was definitely one of the biggest adrenal boots that I've had in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Pretty scary just not knowing how it was going to go over. Like, it could have resulted in a catapult to fame. It could have resulted in me getting the shit kicked out of me in the gym the following week.
Yeah, totally.
So there was definitely some nervousness for me around it. But it was just so overwhelmingly positive. Like, I couldn't believe, how great it was. Like, just everyone that I interacted with after that was just like, I think part of Australia's cultural ideology is we just love authenticity, and we love a good, underdog sort of story.
That's it.
And
yep.
If people resonate with you, and they did with that, I think music's a great vehicle for locating common humanity and really getting to people on a heart level. And, so I had their interest, and then I think I won their hearts a little bit when I sang, and then it was all good.
It's awesome to watch. If you haven't watched it yet, you can jump on YouTube and search it. And Paige,
it still makes me cry when I watch it. Every time I watch it, I cry. I think it's all the like soppy music that they put in afterwards.
Yeah, they do some good editing, don't they?
Hell
yeah. Awesome. So what made you go for that? Were you just like, was it a bit of a spontaneous thing, or was it something you'd planned for ages?
Being a singer, like, reality TV shows, I think, like, taunt you constantly, because they dangle that carrot of, potential overnight stardom. And so I don't think there's many singers that don't get affected by them. And I had thought about, what was the other one called? There was another one, an older one, Australian Idol, is that what it was called?
Could be,
That was quite big before X Factor came along, but they had a cutoff of like, I think it was 28 or something, and I missed the boat for that.
Right.
And then I went overseas, and I'd just come back from San Francisco, And so I was all on a high from that. And there was an ad on TV asking for internet, like, applications. So they must have been short of people, or they wanted more applicants. And so I sent this thing off. And, they just contacted me, like, the next day by phone. And I drove up to Brisbane, sang for the executives, and they were like, yeah, you...
Sweet.
You're through to the live audition thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then... In between that time, I had a really cool conversation with a producer from MasterChef who was at a party that I went to, and he said, the best advice that I can give you is to be really clear about what it is that you want to get out of this, because if you don't, they will take what they want, and you may well end up at the end of it, you know, feeling, yeah, a bit spun out and a bit taken for granted. So I wanted, obviously, to pursue my music, but I was also very clear that I wanted to raise the profile of gender diversity in our country, at least, and if not, further than that. So the decision to... It kind of wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go on the X Factor and come out as a trans man. It was just like, I'm going on the X Factor and I am a trans man. So that inevitably, you know, is part of my story. I can't divorce myself from that. Mm-hmm. Given that, all right, what are we going to do? Yeah, let's ride this pony and see where it goes.
Why not?
So
in your application, did you write, I am a trans man?
No, well, it was really funny because it was actually the second time that I'd auditioned. I'd auditioned once before and I told them my whole story.
Mm.
And then the second time, when I was seeing the executives, the guy was like, oh, I remember you. And I was like, yeah, you remember my story? And he was like, yeah, I remember your story. Which he didn't, you know, he was just talking shit.
Yeah.
And so, so I thought they knew.
Yeah.
And then I got through to live auditions and they were saying, can you send us photos of you, like, as a kid and stuff? Like, we need, for your backstory and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not sure that they know, like, hang on a minute, you know, I actually need to make this really explicit and make sure that they, do you realise that I was born female? They were just like stunned mullet, you know, and then they were like, and the, you know, to their credit, they were like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to run that as part of your story or not? And I was like, hell yeah, I think it needs to happen. So then they were like, awesome, you know,
loving it.
Ratings, you know, so then, then the pictures of the little page, the little girl page. And the, you know, like,
yeah.
And they chose to show, like, photos of me, like, you know, cross-dressing at kindergarten and stuff like that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, so nice. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. And how do you feel about those old photos of Paige? Are they, like, are you all right with them and you're happy to share
totally.
Them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have any, you know, I don't feel the need to divorce from any part of my past, really. You know what I mean? Yeah, there might be things that I look back and think, oh, I might have liked to have done that differently. But that was a really important part of my life and informs who I am now. So, I'm into sort of bringing that in and, being proud of all of it.
Yeah, nice. Have you got old clips of your voice and everything? Like,
I do. Just if I want to really spin people's shit out, I'll pull out of me doing a Whitney Houston or something like that.
Nice. I always thought a really fun thing to do would be record a song pre-tee with an unbroken voice and then once your voice breaks, go and do a duet with yourself.
Such an awesome idea.
Yeah, it would be cool. It's too late for me now, but
get someone else to do it.
Yeah, we'll get a pre-T boy to do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's it. We're on a mission.
That's it. Yeah. If you have any questions for Paige, 0427 Joy 949, or phone the front desk, Jerry is there to take your call, 1300 Joy 949, or email on air at joy.org.au. And you can also jump on the website joy.org.au and click on Transpositions to see what's been happening with our podcasts. We have had a message from Candace, who is my partner, and she writes, hi boys, it must be a handsome overload in there right now. Always lovely to hear from Paige. I praise his ability to roll with the punches and continue to be a positive role model for his peers. Loyal listener, Candy. Oh, thank you, Candy.
Bless Candy. Bless thank Candy. You. That's lovely.
And we have got Betty in the studio here today taking photos of us, so we're trying to be handsome, aren't we, Paige?
Yeah. What a crack. So should have shaved.
No, you look great. You're on Trans Positions on Joy 94.9. And we do have Paige Phoenix in the studio, but we're just going to throw it over to Jez Pez now, who's on the phone. Hi, Jez.
Hey, how you going?
Not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
That's good. Now, we've got you talking to us tonight about Transgender Victoria's new youth project, What Makes an Ally?
Yeah, so that's a joint project with Y-Gender, which is Victoria's youth group for trans and gender diverse young people. And we just ran workshops and a full program over the weekend with Headspace and Brophy's Family and Youth Services, which was awesome. They had their first ever drag show on the Friday night. And after that, we did the workshop for the What Makes an Ally project, which is a statewide project funded by the Department of Health. And we've got like a lot of young people really keen and enthusiastically involved in this project. And the end goal is to create a campaign which educates and encourages people in becoming better allies to trans and gender diverse young people. Mm-hmm. And we thought, why not galvanise more support around this project and try and build more capacity for Y-Gender, so there's people at Y-Gender that work very hard and tirelessly to, you know, support their local community. And they're actually doing a Y-Gender regional outreach tour at the moment. So we're also going to be in Bendigo this weekend. But on top of that, they're wanting to approach also Shepparton and Albury. So basically, if you don't know much about what Y-Gender do, they run these support groups and a range of discussion nights and multiple creative projects, which really bring people together. So the projects for real people in real life, you know, developing real communities with measurable outcomes. And I think that it's really important that the community gets behind Y-Gender and Trans Victoria in these projects. And they're actually looking to raise some money to support a few projects. Like, they're doing a zine project at the moment, which is for trans and diverse young people under 30. And the Y-Gender regional tour is really important because it reduces the risk of poor mental health and increases connectedness with community, and also provides a safe space for people to connect and form communities and access services. And the great thing that Y-Gender are doing as well is building capacity for local communities to develop advocacy and organising skills, which is really important for regional areas. So if anyone has any money to, you know, throw something worthy, email admin@ygender, so that's the letter Y, ygender.com, or they also accept PayPal donations. And their zine project, for every dollar that Y-Gender get for their zine project, you know about Dude Magazine will throw in a dollar as well, so we'll match dollar for dollar for any donations going to support all the young people that are doing some awesome work.
That's awesome. That sounds really great. So Dude Magazine is still for sale, yeah?
Yeah, it was free each year when an issue was launched. It was for free. And then we had 88,000 downloads globally of the three issues. But wow. Now it's $5. You can download it for $5. And all that money is also going to the Zine project at Y-Gender.
Yep.
So that and that money goes to printing those resources. And the Y-Gender zine is going to be free. It's going to be made by trans and gender diverse young people. And it's a really great project for people to come together and be socialising and making friends, and which are all part of the protective factors to help reduce risk and risk of suicide, risk of self-harm.
Yep.
So, if there are any young people out there listening, wherever you are, and you want to come to any of these workshops, get in touch with Y-Gender. But also, if you're going to be in Bendigo on Saturday, we are running, well, Friday actually, and through to Saturday, we're running social support groups. And then on Saturday, doing the What Makes an Ally project. So contact Headspace in Bendigo for more information on that.
Yep, and have you got a...
How old are you, Kurt?
How old am I? I'm 28.
You should totally come to the workshop tomorrow night.
Oh, well, I might do that.
Yeah.
Is there a website that we can just get more details and just have a little bit more of a read about it?
Yeah, sure. Transgendervictoria.com.
yep.
has got all the information. So Transgender Victoria is like the sort of huge advocacy organisation, and they're doing a fair few campaigns and projects at the moment, one of which is What Makes an Ally, and you can keep up to date on that website, everything that's happening. You might have seen the 7:30 report that they did. The ABC did a news story on it. So they've also got that video up there with interviews of young people.
Yep, awesome. I did watch that video. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great to see you doing such fantastic things with the local youth, local, I suppose, gender diverse youth. Jez, it's great work. And yeah, visit that webpage. What was it, transgendervictoria.com?
Yeah, that's it.
And does YGender have a webpage as well?
Yeah, well, I think it's YGender.com.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great. I appreciate you coming on tonight, Jez. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jez. Have a good night. Bye. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and that was Paige Phoenix live here in the studio, live guitar and live vocals. Thanks so much for that, Paige. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
That was really well done. I know that you're going through a few health issues, so...
that may be the last live guitar you ever hear.
We hope not, but that was... I'd be privileged if it was. Yeah, to be here listening to that, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Cool. So... we sort of, the show's nearly ended and I feel like I've only just got started. There's so much I could talk to you about, Paige. We've only just sort of touched on a few little things, but it's sort of nice to hear that you're in a good place at the moment, and you are having ups and downs, and it's just, I suppose that's life. It never really ends.
Right.
Yeah. And I just wanted you to sort of... tell us how it's going now as a trans man, looking the way you look, and post-op, and you're still on the hormones and everything.
Yeah. Everything's really pretty much leveled out for me. I've only got one earphone working for some reason.
Yeah, same.
Okay, it's not just me. Yes, look, I got a pretty radical sort of health diagnosis that has meant that life kind of had to change on lots of levels. And good is not good and bad is not bad. Mm-hmm. It's ended up being... one of the best things that could have happened to me in a lot of ways, because a lot of my unhealthy behaviours had to go
mm-hmm.
in order for me to be able to take care of myself properly. And life, you know, like it's the product of all of these amazing adventures and things that I've managed to sort of run into.
Yeah.
And I pretty much get to spend my life doing stuff that I'm really impassioned by and stuff that I really enjoy, which is, you know, community work and trans activism. You know, I've got the federal, the case with the United Nations Human Rights Commission against the federal government, trying to get some legislative changes to help trans folks.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing lots of peer support work. And yeah, just like trying to be as healthy as and happy as possible.
Yeah.
And yeah. In some ways that's challenging because I do have the health stuff going on.
Mm.
In other ways, it's impossible not to have an awesome life if you've, you know, got a bit of self and other awareness. Like, you know, every day is just a blessing.
Yeah, really that's awesome. Yeah. And now you've got a campaign going because you need a bit of help with this new health problem you've got.
Yeah. It's taken me out of work.
Yeah.
And I'm on the pension, and I pretty much like treat my pension like a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So my attitude is that I'm getting funded for a position that probably wouldn't get funded otherwise. and it doesn't leave a lot at the end of the day. Sort of, you know, everyone knows like it's just getting harder and harder to survive and live financially. But there's a my condition, according to like mainstream medicos, is incurable. flexible and degenerative. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to access some alternative therapists, who one in particular called Don Tolman, who is having a base camp for health in November, which is just unfortunately costs a mozza, as they do. So I'm running a possible campaign called Save the Page campaign, mm-hmm. to try and raise some funds to get up for that.
Yeah.
He thinks that he can get me, like, I'm on about 15 kinds of medication at the moment. He reckons he can get me off pretty much everything that I'm on.
Wow.
And I, yeah, at the moment would really love to invest in the hope that that's possible. So,
Fantastic. So if people want to donate, how can they,
they
a website?
Can jump onto Possible, and I guess if they just search for Save the Page, I'll probably pop up.
Sure, and Save the Page, P-A-I-G-E. Awesome. Yeah. And Possible is
P-O-Z-I-B-L-E. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I can also share that link on the Transpositions Facebook page.
Yeah, and it's on, I'm sort of reposting every time I get donations. I post to Yahoo, so.
Yeah, great. We'll definitely get the word out there. Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, you know, if everyone just pitches in a couple of dollars here and there, then.
Well, that's the thing. It's been a really beautiful process because, it was quite hard to sort of put out and say, hey, listen, I actually need some help here.
Yeah.
Most of the work that I do, I don't get paid for, and, you know, try and get costs covered where possible. But, just to give people a mechanism to be able to actually give back to me and to see, you know, the messages that people have left and stuff. It's just been beautiful. Someone gave me $1, you know, and I was, and I was like, this is all I've got, like, literally.
Yeah.
Like, gave me their last $1. I was like, that meant more to me than, you know, I don't know.
$100 from a rich man.
Seriously. Yeah. From someone who didn't matter.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's really sweet how people come together in times of need.
We have an incredible community, there's no doubt, you know. And it is a really good a good point to raise that, you know, you can get what you want if you're willing to actually put out for it and ask for it or reach for it or, you know, just go for it.
Create
anything for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I was on the Possible website, and you've got so much information there about yourself and explaining your situation, and it was just completely transparent, which is, I think, what a lot of people need to know. What, you know, where is this money going? How is it being distributed?
Right.
And, you know, you did put in a lot of hours to write that up. And
It took a while.
Yeah, it took a while. And
I thought I'd do that, and then I'll just do a short video so people can do one or the other.
That was really well done. And just talking about this, I wondered how you who came up with the financials for chest surgery.
The financials for chest surgery, I was working back then. Yeah.
Okay.
I was studying and I had part-time work. So, and I chose, Megan Hassel as my surgeon, and she's incredibly generous in terms of, her costing. There's no gap on revision surgery and, so it was actually reasonably affordable for me.
Nice. Because I know a lot of people do the fundraising campaigns to fundraise for chest surgery, and some of them do find it quite hard, and it's, you know, I don't know whether anyone's put together something quite as well as you have put together your campaign. Now, we have had a message here. Hi, Paige, just wondering what you'll be spending the money on. It wasn't clear on your campaign site.
It is actually listed there. I'm spending the money on the cost of attending the boot camp, on the flights and the accommodation. And then if I'm lucky enough to overshoot my target, I've put the base amount that I need to get there. There's other stuff, like I need to, I'm losing function in my arms and legs basically. So I need, there's some really cool knee braces that are like $360 that I can't get because my kneecaps have stopped tracking. You know, there's a few mods that the house needs, like in terms of, I hate to admit it, but like I'm heading for Willy Walkerville, you know. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I could put the money towards, but absolutely every single cent will go on stuff that's critical for my health.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good cause. We've also thanks for that, Paige. We've also had another message. What a beautiful song, inspiring program tonight. Thanks for the honesty and insight, guys. From A.
Oh, thanks, A. Oh,
thanks. It was a beautiful song. And look, Paige, it's been awesome talking to you tonight about everything. Is there anything else you'd just like to put out there at the moment from, you know, what's going on for you at the moment?
God, anything that I would like to put out? There's nothing really, like, sort of... I think someone flicked me the prompt to... for 7 days, find 3 things each day that I'm grateful for. And the first day, like, I think it was like, I just felt like I was drowning in gratitude. There were so many things that I was like, I can't just have 3, like, it's not going to be enough. And then, you know, days that are harder, it can be a little bit more difficult to kind of come up with it. But just that it's something just as simple as that, a little tiny practice of just like actually looking mindfully at the things that we have that are good, because where you place your attention is, I think, what, you know, what shapes what you create in your life. So
absolutely,
I would invite everyone out there to for 7 days, find 3 things each day that you are grateful for.
That's right. That sounds good. Chris is just trying to tell me something. What's up?
No, I've got a question.
They're sharing notes.
Sorry.
I'm like,
I was trying to be subtle. No, Paige, I actually have a question, because you've gone through this whole journey. Would you do anything differently?
Would I do anything differently? Yeah, you know what? If I could have gotten a handle on my substance abuse issues earlier, or not kicked that phase back off in my life, I definitely would change that, because it has had a detrimental effect on my ability to be able to do what I want to do. And I think that... it's a huge issue in the GLBTIQ community that, we have some pretty unhealthy avoidance strategies that are designed to sort of make us, you know, feel like we're all good and okay. And I think maybe actually getting in there and addressing what organises those behaviours is better. Probably that. I'd do that differently.
Cool. Thank you.
No worries.
Yeah, so how are you going with all the alcohol dependency issues?
Yeah, I am actually going really well with it. I had a really awesome stretch of, 100 and nearly 50 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one little fall off the wagon, but it was related to not being able to get adequate medical support around my pain. So I feel like, and you can sort of take this how you will, but for me personally, it felt like I was drinking because of pain, not because of alcohol dependence or addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it was effective and actually kept me on the planet that night. So it was kind of the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I haven't drunk since then or felt any desire to, and I've gotten, I was chatting to you earlier about getting some acute care plans in place so that if that happens again, I've got better support.
Mm.
But on the whole, I'm just stoked with how it's going. Like, I feel fantastic and, can't imagine going back to the lifestyle that I had before.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really great to hear.
It's really good. And you, Kurt, how's it all going for you?
For me, it's going really well, actually. Once I stopped drinking and made the decision to stop drinking, I didn't go back. Yeah. And I'm actually quite put off alcohol nowadays, and I don't really like to smell it, and drunk people are embarrassing.
They get a bit annoying.
And I sort of, I don't really want to be around it because it's not productive. And right, I sort of, I feel really like I just want to be doing things that matter nowadays. Not wasting my time or my money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really nice to see, you know, on social media, you're putting up the number of days and how you're going. And it's good just to be there with you and, you know, you're sort of supporting through that social media there.
It's amazing how many people it's kickstarted something for, like, which just gives me the biggest buzz. Like, I just love that those reverberations are sort of felt and, you know, just whatever. Like, it's been really different things for people, you know. You know, one person, it was like soft drinks that they wanted to get out of their life, you know. And, but just that people are like, oh, yeah, you know, if the Mr. Charlie Sheen, you know, over there can go straight and sober, then I can sure as shit give it a go.
Yeah, nice. Charlie Sheen, I like it.
I'll put him to shame, seriously.
That's awesome. Oh, well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here tonight,
Paige. Thank you, Kurt. It's been my pleasure to be here.
I definitely want you to come back on the show. So
I promise I will.
There's no escape now.
Done deal.
And thank you, Chris, on the panel.
Thanks, Chris.
And Jerry on the front desk taking calls.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. And who have I? Oh, Andrea for our podcasts. Jump on the Joy website, joy.org.au. There's new podcasts there, and this episode will be podcast soon, so we can share it around and everyone can have a listen. Yeah, it's been a great night, and we'll speak to you next Tuesday. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.